Today is the 2nd of July, and day after tomorrow, it's going to be the 4th of July. We celebrate our independence as a nation, and it's a day of rejoicing over the fact that we've lived in a free country. We've had a free country for over 200 years, but it's also a time to reflect and to see the present state of this country, and to look at the country's report card, judging it by the Word of God. So let's open with a word of prayer before we do that. Father, in Jesus' precious name, we thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we've experienced in this country. We thank you, Lord, for our founding fathers and their courage to stand up for what is right and to shed their blood to give us the freedom that we have today. We thank you for our fathers and our grandfathers and our great-grandfathers in this country who are willing to put their lives on the line to keep us free. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for the faith in you that our founding fathers had, that they recognized that the only way for a nation to be free would be to base the laws of that land and the government of that land and the economy of that land upon principles from your word. For only in you can true freedom be found. And Lord, I just pray for our country. We've fallen from our status as one nation under God. We've fallen from a nation that was obedient to you. And so I pray, Lord, that you would bring revival in our land, that you would cause us to drop to our knees and ask the God that has blessed us to forgive us and to return to us that which the locusts have devoured. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to preach on the decay of a nation, the decay of a nation. I wrote a book back in 87 and published it titled The Decay of a Nation, The Need for National Revival. And this is kind of based on some of the observations I made back then, and that was back in 87, 8 years ago, and things are getting worse even now. Now, I like to say this. I do not like when other nations or leaders from other nations or people from other nations judge America. Okay? These other nations need to take the log out of their eyes before they try to mess with the splinter that is in the eyes of the United States, okay? 85% of all the missionary work and all the funds that support missionary work is paid for by Americans. 10% of it is paid for by Canada. So in just these two countries, which make a tiny fraction of the world's population, 95% of the world's mission work is being paid. God's chosen nation, the nation of Israel, the only friend that they have right now on this earth is America. So America stands head and shoulders above all the other nations on earth right now. And so I don't like when other nations judge America. They ought to clean their own houses first. That's number one. Number two, I don't like when politicians in America are leading this country further into decay, are leading us further and further away from the Bible, are promoting equal rights for homosexuals, are promoting abortion on demand, and then they turn around and judge America. We got a president in this country that is a very big part of the problem, but he likes to throw stones at this country. I think America would do a lot better if we had some biblical leadership rather than ungodly leadership. And so I don't like when America gets judged by other nations because they're doing worse than us. Now, there is one nation, by the way, that is on the rise, and it's South Korea. They're accepting the gospel message. The gospel is being spread so quickly over there And in fact, a Korean pastor across the street told me he's shocked when he saw the curriculum that his kids are being taught in the public schools over here, because he said they don't teach. Now, he's Presbyterian, and the Presbyterians came from the Puritans, and he said that he's shocked that the thing that had made America great was the Puritan Christian influence on this country. And what he's shocked about is you never see that in our textbooks. And then he told me in broken English, the poor guy, he learned to speak English when he had a pastor in Georgia. So then he came up here, and so he's got a combination of a Korean accent and a Georgian accent. So they sent me over there with my expertise in early colonial English, and now he's really, we'll throw some New Jersey accent in there too, but he said that in Korea, they teach American history over there. And the reasoning behind that is, God prospered America to be the greatest nation on earth because America was founded on a biblical basis and obeyed the God of the Bible, and God blessed them and prospered them as a nation. And so they want to teach that and say, this is what America did. We need to do this for our country. And so those guys are on the rise. We're on the way down. We need to repent. Now, let me say this. I've already established I don't like when other nations, people in glass houses should not throw rocks. I've already established that the politicians who are part of the problem, the ones who are leading us into moral promiscuity and all the garbage that leading us further and further away from Christianity, they've got no business bad-mouthing America because they're part of the problem themselves. Having said that, we need to judge all things, ourselves included, by the Word of God. And so having said that, though I think America stands head and shoulders above any other nation on earth right now, the fact remains we are a disobedient nation. We are a bunch of spoiled brats who have turned our backs on the God who has blessed us. And that is a very dangerous thing to do. There was a nation named the Nation of Israel. They did that as well, and we're going to see God's warnings to them. And we should learn from their example. And so I want to talk about the decay of a nation. Look at Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. This book was written by Moses. It was the Word of God that God guided Moses into writing. Now, the Israelites are getting ready to take the promised land. They actually didn't have enough faith the first attempt, so they stayed wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. That generation died. Then they went back in. But God's preparing them to enter the promised land, and He gives them some advice here, some strong advice. And when God speaks, we should listen. Leviticus 18, verses 20 to 25. And you shall not have intercourse with your neighbor's wife to be defiled with her. God says you should not commit adultery. Verse 21, neither shall you give your offspring to offer them to Molech. Molech was a false Canaanite god. Nor shall you profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. So God says you should not commit infanticide, killing children in worship of a false god, idolatry, infanticide and idolatry. You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. I debated a guy on this issue who was trying to say that all we Christians should back homosexuals and there's nothing wrong with it. Abomination is about the strongest word you can come up with to call an action detestable. Abomination, it means something that is horrible, detestable, disgusting. And that's what God thinks of homosexuality. So if we're free to have a different view about homosexuality than God, all that means is God's given us the freedom to be wrong. Verse 23, and you shall not have intercourse with any animal to be defiled with it, Nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is a perversion. So God says, don't commit bestiality. Now listen to what he says in verses 24 and 25. Do not defile yourselves by any of these things, for by all these the nations which I am casting out before you have become defiled. For the land has become defiled, therefore I have visited its punishment upon it, so the land has spewed out its inhabitants. Now what God is saying, a lot of people, by the way, will say anytime you pull out the passage from the Old Testament, will say, well, that applies to Israel. It doesn't apply to Gentile or non-Jewish nations. But God just said here that the Gentile, non-Israelite nations, they're getting kicked out of their land for these problems. And then he tells the Israelites, you're my chosen nation. But if you practice these same practices, if they become widespread within your nation, I'm going to kick you guys out just like I kicked them out. Whether it's Jew or Gentile, it makes no difference. You practice these things, it becomes widespread in your country, and the same thing that happened to Sodom and Gomorrah is going to happen to you. A nation under God's judgment, rampant adultery. C.S. Lewis said he was really against easy divorce, and his reasoning was, he said, if the marriage contract can be violated, then no contract whatsoever will be worth the paper it's written on anymore. I mean, if a guy could break his vow before God, before the state, and before the woman he's supposed to love, with just some easy stroke of the pen, then when that guy signs a contract to build your house, how you know he's not going to violate that? Right now, we got baseball players who sign a 10-year contract for $3 million a year for the next 10 years, and then some rookie will come up and sign a contract for more money 5 years later, and so these guys decide, well, I'm not going to play baseball unless we renegotiate my contract. And our courts allow these guys to step out of their contracts, even though they sign on the dotted line, and they end up getting signed for more money. The marriage contract is one of the most sacred contracts a society can come up with. I think your vow to God, your commitment to God, is the only thing higher than your commitment to your spouse. Adultery, idolatry, worship of false idols. By the way, an idol, you don't have to have a shrine in your house to worship idols. Anything that is your master or anything that you hold in higher esteem than Jesus, that is your idol. It can be anything. It can be sports. It can be, if I don't watch out, it could be Raider football. Especially now they're moving back to Oakland. It could be TV. It could be television. My guess is the average Christian spends more time watching TV than reading their Bible. We need to think about those things. Idolatry, anything you place above, it could be your spouse. It could be your career. Anything you place above Jesus, that is your idol. All worship means is that you consider the thing that you worship the ultimate thing, the highest, the greatest thing in all of existence. And that's why only God should be worshipped. Idolatry, infanticide. We're doing a little bit of infanticide, which is in this country, which is killing babies after they're born. But we're doing a real lot of the killing of infants before they're born. We average about 1.5 million abortions each year in this country, and for the most part, it's just for the purpose of convenience. I think less than 2% are due to rape or incest. The rest, we're just saying, well, we don't have enough money right now, and this and that, and blah blah blah. So let's have an abortion. And then homosexuality is rampant within our society. Bestiality, I haven't heard too much of that, but it wouldn't surprise me the way that this country has fallen. But this applies both to Israel and the Gentile nations. If we practice these things and they become widespread, God is going to judge our land. Billy Graham once said that if God doesn't judge America, he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. I'd like to say two things about that. Number one, America is not as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah was. But number two, America was a nation founded on God's word. In other words, we knew better. And so I would have to agree with Billy Graham. Unless we drop to our knees real quick as a nation, we're going to go down the tubes real shortly. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 5. Let me tell you something about the nation of Israel. Like Vietnam, Korea, and America, they had their own civil war at one time. And the nation of Israel, to the north, it was called Israel. And to the south, it was called Judah. Okay? Now, in 722 B.C., the Assyrian Empire took over Israel to the north and took them captive. And then in 586 B.C., the Babylonians took captive those from Judah, from the southern two tribes. But right here, Judah is still their own nation. Babylon has not taken them over yet, and Isaiah is warning Judah that God is going to judge them if they don't repent. Now look in verses 11 and 12 in Isaiah chapter 5. 11 and 12, by the way, this is the result. I would say it's a necessary result. It's a consequence that has to follow if your nation gives up on God. God made us in such a way that we like to feel great. We do not like to feel a little bit good. We don't like to feel lousy. We don't like to feel depressed. We like to feel great. And the only way that we can feel great and not escape reality and have some kind of pseudo joy or false joy is if we have a right relationship with the true God of the Bible. But you reject the true God and you go everywhere looking for highs. Look at Isaiah chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. The people of Judah had rejected the true God of the Bible. And so Isaiah says, "Woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may pursue strong drink, who stay up late in the evening that wine may inflame them, and their banquets are accompanied by lyre and harp, by tambourine and flute, and by wine. But they do not pay attention to the deeds of the Lord, nor do they consider the work of His hands." Basically, you got the combination of drinking and partying. What you have is what philosophers call hedonism. If it feels good, do it. Let's just party. Let's just party for the rest of our lives. Let's forget that life stinks. Let's forget that life is miserable, that we can't find any meaning to life. Let's just wash all our problems away. Anytime I feel bad, I'll just go to the bottle. Or I'll just smoke another joint. Or I'll just go to a party and we'll just play the music real loud and we'll just forget about all our problems. That's a product of a society that has turned its back on God and they've given up on looking for answers. And so all they do is they go from one thrill to another thrill, and God forbid a day goes by when they run out of booze or there's no parties to attend, because then they got to sit there in their own depression, sit there in their own despair, and convince themselves why they should not kill themselves right at that moment. That's a society that's lost meaning. Even somebody like Rush Limbaugh, who I do not consider the most spiritual man on earth, I think a lot of his political views I think are really good, but I don't like his sense of humor. Sometimes he borders on the jokes lack taste and stuff. But even he once showed a quote, I think it was from Hillary Clinton, who was stating that she was trying to help America. America has no meaning and this and that. And she's trying to help them define meaning and this and that, and she talked about what she thought meaning in life was and this and that. And then he came back, after showing the clip, it came back to Rush Limbaugh, and he said, he pretty much said, what's with the First Lady? He said, well, we're no longer looking for the meaning to life. We found it. That's why America is great. The average American is not looking for the meaning to life. He knows where the meaning to life is, the God of the Bible. But apparently, like the First Lady, many of Americans have abandoned the true meaning to life, the God of the Bible, and they've searched for meaning elsewhere, and all they're coming up with is broken cisterns which can hold no water because they've rejected the living water. Look at Isaiah 5, verse 13. Therefore my people go into exile. The Babylonians are going to come and are going to take them over. Therefore my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude is parched with thirst. What is he talking about? He's talking about the fact, because of the lack of spiritual knowledge, because men don't know the truth of God, the Israelite nation was going to be punished and was going to find judgment. Let me say something. America is going down the tubes real quick, and we need to repent. But if we go down the tubes, it's not going to be because we didn't stand up for the right economic view. It's not going to be because we didn't stand up for the right political view on this area, the right political view on that area, the right political view on that area. Let me tell you this. If America falls, the reason why she will have fallen is because she rejected the God who blessed her. When you accept and trust in the God of the Bible, you know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. When you trust in God with all your heart, guess what? When you trust in the real solution, the ultimate answer, He gives you all the little answers. Why were our founding fathers the greatest political and economic geniuses this world has ever known? Because they knew Jesus. So our problems aren't all these little details. We need to work on all these little details, but we got to recognize if we fall, it's because we broke off from the God who blessed us in this country. Lack of spiritual knowledge is what's killing America today. Isaiah was warning Judah, and Judah ended up, they got taken captive. They did not heed his warnings. Maybe we should learn from Judah's mistakes. Look at verse 20 of Isaiah chapter 5. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You could sum up this word. In the American context, you can sum up this verse in two words. It's called political correctness. Political correctness right now calls evil good and good evil. Right now, who are the people that are being called terrorists in this country? You have any Christians who protest abortion and try to save the lives of unborn babies, they're referred to as terrorists, and they're being tried and charged under RICO laws, laws established for organized crime. Laws that were designed to arrest mafia leaders, organized criminals, are being used against Christians because they're trying to save the lives of unborn babies. You also have militia groups right now. Let me say something about militia groups. I don't know if you've ever looked into them yet. There are always loose cannons in everything. Even in the pro-life movement, there are loose cannons that have shot doctors. But don't listen to what CNN is telling you about militia groups right now. The Second Amendment to our Constitution, the right to bear arms, was because our founding fathers accepted a biblical principle which said, never trust in princes. You can't trust human leaders because they're human. So therefore, you, in a society like ours, we have the right to vote. You vote for the officials that agree the most with the Bible, but even when you elect them, you don't trust them. And so the right to bear arms was what our founding fathers recognized as a God-given right of the people to defend themselves, not just against some guy who's trying to break down their door, but even to help keep the government in check so the government doesn't get suppressive and take away their God-given rights. So all these militia guys are doing, and there's some loose cannons. This guy, McVeigh, that blew up that building, he was not part of any of these militias. He attended a couple meetings at one of the militias, but most of these militias are up front. They've got nothing to hide. They publicly show people their views and that type of thing. And you've got a few white Aryan supremacist terrorist type groups that are out there that will sometimes they'll attend these meetings and then see, well, these guys aren't violent like us. They'll get out of them and do their own thing. But right now what you have is a government that does not trust its people. Thomas Jefferson said this: when the people fear the government, there is only tyranny. But when the government fears its people, there is freedom, there is liberty. And so our founding fathers, they not only did not trust the leaders of England, they didn't trust themselves. They said, we're going to be the new leaders. So they tied their hands in any way possible. System of checks and balances and all. And then in the end they said, hey, in the final check and balance is we're going to let our citizens be armed. Reason being, because the colonists were armed, they were able to defeat England in battle and establish a free society. And so the founding fathers said, if we get suppressive, we want the people to be able to keep us in line and keep us from taking away their freedoms. But right now, with political correctness, evil is called good and good is called evil. Who are the problems? The problems are the Christians. Man, if these Christians would just get out of the way, we'd have our one world government and we'd live together in peace. That's what CNN is saying. And if these people that believe in the right to bear arms would just get out of the way, we'd have no more crime. I'll tell you, I saw a guy was walking down Wheaton Way late last night, with a baseball bat in his hands. And for all I know, he went and played baseball with his friends and then hung out at his friend's house and didn't have a ride home, so he was walking home with his baseball bat. It was a nice hot day, a good day to play baseball. But it made me feel real uneasy. It's like, man, a guy walking around late at night with a baseball bat. But I'll tell you, I can guarantee you he got home safe that night. No matter what his intentions, he had a baseball bat, so nobody's going to mess with him. It's like a guy walking down the street with a pit bull on a chain. Nobody's going to mess with him. And you want to bring the crime rate down, let citizens walk around carrying their own privately owned weapons and stuff. Nobody messes. The areas with the most crime in this country are the areas where it's the hardest to get a weapon. I know, because I grew up in New Jersey. And Bernard Goetz, five guys tried to mug him. He ended up shooting them, and he spent more time in jail for that than they did because he was illegal to own a weapon, carry a concealed weapon. And every one of these guys had a record. They were only 15, 16, 17 years old, but they had a record as long as my arm. Right now, we got a country that calls evil good and good evil. It's called political correctness. You're not supposed to badmouth homosexuality. You're not supposed to badmouth anything that they have called good, and they've reversed everything. Take a look at verse 21. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Again, trusting in human wisdom. When you look at America, the partying and the drinking that's going on, the hedonism, the lack of spiritual knowledge in this country. I'll tell you, you know what? My guess is, I don't know, there are some dynamite churches out there doing a great job, but my guess is if you're not into real heavy thinking, go to the average church in America today. I mean, if you go to an atheist philosophy professor to get a philosophy course, it's going to be intellectually intense. It's hard to pass those tests. But all you get is milk from the pulpits of this country. We've watered down the gospel message. Sometimes you're not even guaranteed that you're going to get spiritual knowledge in a church anymore. I mean, the biggest problem in this country is not the unsaved. They're just doing what comes natural to them. Biggest problem in this country, we got a bunch of believers who refuse to take a stand for what is right, who refuse to get into the Word and work hard at serving Jesus. Take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Again, God is warning Israel. Now, this, by the way, doesn't apply to all nations, this passage here. Reason being, it was specifically to Israel because she, unlike any other nation on earth at that point, she was the only nation founded on God's laws. Okay? Now the thing is, America was also founded on God's laws and principles. So even though this specifically is dealing with Israel, it also applies to America. At the same time, it doesn't apply to many other nations. Like, for instance, Babylon. Babylon was more ungodly than Israel was, yet God used Babylon to judge Israel. Okay? So, in other words, nations founded on biblical principles are judged by a higher standard because we know more. We're more responsible. We're judged by a higher standard than nations not founded on biblical principles. So it was written to Israel, but applies to nations founded on God's laws, i.e., America. It talks about blessings. Look at verse 1 of Deuteronomy.